Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all for being with me. You can support the Father's Day by becoming a member now. Isn't that amazing? On YouTube or by going to local.com and becoming a member right there. Thank you all in advance. And also, don't forget Pudgy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. What the? And the coffee is good. So go to jesseleepeterson.shop and get your Pudgy's Coffee. I do appreciate it. I have with me Nelson Schumann, and he is a pastor, author, and the founder and president of Restored to Freedom Ministry. Restored to Freedom Ministry. So should I call you Pastor or Nelson?
No, you just call me Nelson.
Nelson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be here.
How long have you been a pastor?
Well, I'm not a pastor. You can call me a deliverance minister, I guess, if you would want to call me by something. But I'm not a pastor, but I've done this deliverance ministry for about 10 years now.
And so in order to do a delivery ministry, you don't have to be a pastor to do that? Are you saying that?
Nope. Yeah, you don't have to be. Nope.
And so so how do you present yourself? You're like, oh, come to my church. I have a delivery ministry, and my name is Nelson.
Yeah. So, I don't have a church, but I started doing this on social media. The Lord had me start traveling, actually, around the United States for the first 5 years. I come from a business background, came from Indiana. I went to Purdue University, used to work with banks and bank presidents and vice presidents for many years. And then the Lord called me out of that into the ministry. And I had no desires to do ministry. I grew up as a Christian my whole life. But the Lord had other plans. And the Lord essentially called me into trying to help people who have been hurt and wounded, to help them get essentially healed of those wounds and then delivered from any demonic spirits that would be tormenting them in their mind. So I started traveling back in 2015, and for about five straight years, traveled all over the United States. I've been to every state, been to some other countries like Israel and so forth as well. I would essentially talk about how when people get hurt and they get wounded, which we all do when we're growing up, how that plays out later in life if we don't get those wounds healed, and how we'll hear a lot of negative thoughts in our mind causing us to trigger on our spouse, on our children, and then pass on the hurts and the wounds to other people. And so I've learned basically how to help people forgive and remove a lot of rights that the enemy has, and then they can actually have a lot less negative thoughts from the enemy and have a lot more positive thoughts from the Lord, or the Holy Spirit.
Amazing. So you walking down the road one day and God said, hey, Nelson, I need you to go out and heal the people.
Well, amazing. Yeah, it was almost like that. I mean, it was crazy. It was, I had been married for about, I think it was 18 years, and we had a son that was really a challenge for 10 years. And then my wife filed for divorce, and I was just distraught, and I was so sad, and I didn't want that to happen. And I basically went to sleep one night. I woke up, and the Lord started to speak in my thoughts, in my mind, not in audible or anything. But he's like, what is it that you want out of your life? And at the time, I was desiring to be like a multimillionaire, because my mom and my dad used to argue over not having money. Right. So I'm like, well, I want to make sure that I have a lot of money. That way, at least my wife and I don't argue over money. So I ultimately had a really high-paying job and made very good money, but yet didn't have any peace. And so I told the Lord, I'm like, well, I've got all this money, but I'm like, I don't have any peace. So I'm like, I guess if I had to choose, what is it that I want out of my life? I want to have peace. And the Lord said, great, that's what I'll do for you. I'll take away, though, all the money that you have, and I'll change your heart to having my heart for people instead of selfishness for yourself. And then when I've done that, then eventually that will lead into a ministry. And I was just like, what? Ministry? Whoa. I'm like, I don't even, you know, I didn't have a desire prior to that. But then once that happened, I had the desire. And I'm like, I don't know how it's going to happen, Lord, but I'm your servant and I will do whatever you want me to do. So.
And so did God take all your money away?
Eventually he did. Yeah.
Really?
It was wild. Yeah, it was wild because, I mean, I was pretty tight with my money. I wouldn't spend it on stupid things. But over time, like over maybe a year or so, it dwindled down. And then ultimately, the Lord took me out of my high-paying job, and I had a job that didn't pay much. And then he was teaching me things and speaking to me, and I was learning about, you know, spirits and how demonic spirits are real and how they would affect people. And so little by little, I started learning about all this, and then eventually started doing some ministry, and then it just began to grow and grow and grow. And now it's kind of hard to keep up with the demand. So
amazing. And so when God was taking your money and you saw yourself, the money disappear, did you say, you know what, God, I was just playing. Don't take my money. I didn't mean
it's funny because I told the Lord. Yeah, when the Lord asked me, what is it that you want out of your life? I'm like, well, I want peace. And he said, okay. And I told him, I go, money is nice. I'd like to have peace, but I'd also like to have money. But if I had to choose one, I'll choose peace. And then when he told me, I'm going to take it all away. But eventually he told me, I will bring it back to you, and then you'll use it for kingdom purposes.
Oh, okay.
And you won't just use it for your own selfish purposes. And because he said, I'll have your heart, and your heart will be changed. And so you won't be desiring a lot of material things. It'll be, how can we help more people get healed, set free, delivered, and changed?
That's amazing.
And that's really is kind of what's played out over the last 10 years. So.
And did your wife leave?
She did. She did. She left and, you know, filed for divorce. I couldn't stop it. But from what birthed out of all that, the Lord then started again speaking to me and then leading me into eventually into ministry. And then I learned a lot about how the enemy did work in people's lives and how they could be in the church, you know, and still be influenced by the enemy. And I didn't think, you know, I was brought up as in the church that you couldn't have demons and be a Christian. But I'm like, nope. I go, there's a lot of Pharisees and scribes that Jesus would call out that have pride and they need, you know, healing and deliverance, and they don't think they need it. And so I learned otherwise.
And so at least since God has taken away all your money, when that woman left, you didn't have to give her any money because you didn't have any more, right?
Well, I did, like half of it. So
really?
But you know, it was worth it only because now I thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing because I have so many people that have either, you know, read my books or followed us on social media or have taken them through personal sessions of healing and deliverance, and their lives, they admit their lives were changed dramatically and that they now have the heart of Christ and that they walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
Nice. I want to ask you about that, but first let me ask, why didn't you want her to leave? When she said, I'm leaving, why didn't you just say, okay, goodbye, see you later?
Well, because when I was brought up, I always like, no, I'm going to be married for life. I'm never going to ever go through a divorce. Well, in going through that, that did teach me a lot of things about how marriages can work, how they can fail, and how it does take two people to keep marriage together. And yeah, you could have one person that wants to keep it together and the other person that doesn't. And that other person could have a lot of hurts and wounds that they never got healed from.
Yeah.
And if they don't get healed from them, you can counsel all day long. But if they don't go through deliverance, then they're going to keep hearing those negative thoughts and they'll keep triggering on the spouse. And they can be very controlling. They can be very manipulative. They can be very mean. And they can behave, you know, in front of the church like they're, well, Mother Teresa, are very loving and kind, but then behind closed doors, they can be a different person. So
are you glad she's gone now?
I mean, I never had like any animosity,
right.
But the Lord did bring me a new wife that I'm remarried to as of 4 years ago.
You got a new wife?
Yeah, and she's great. I mean, she knows what it's like, you know, to have gone through also some hurts and wounds in her life, and so she gets it, she understands it. So now together, you know, we're like best friends.
And so are you glad the other woman is gone, the first wife?
Say what?
Are you glad the first wife is gone?
I mean, she ultimately passed away last year.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm sad, you know, for we had three children, and so it's a challenge, you know, for them. So I, you know, I understand, you know, what it's like when you are wanting to get along with someone if they're not willing, you know, to do some work. And I needed to have some deliverance myself, so I admit to that. And the Lord, when he started to speak to me, he actually basically delivered me from a lot of things that I had struggled with. So I started walking more in the fruit of the Spirit, and I saw the changes in my own life. And so I'm like, wow, if the Lord can help me, then maybe I can help others see the light and help them get healed and delivered.
And so are your children adults now?
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, I think she's 30 now. Oh. And she has two children. And then I have two boys that are like 32 and 34 that also have a child. So.
Right on. And so this woman you're with now, how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
She was basically mostly healed by the time, you know, that we got married. So, and she's a complete believer in healing and deliverance, you know. So it was what was interesting was she actually followed my ministry for a couple of years. I didn't know it, but she knew that what I was teaching was real and that it was true. And she hadn't, you know, a lot of times people will follow my ministry and they don't hear this in church, and the Holy Spirit's able to reveal to them some of the things that they didn't ever know about how real that this is and how hurts and wounds can play into a person's life to where they can be really mean.
So you said that she followed your ministry for a while before you knew her?
Before I knew her, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think it was maybe 3 years before, because she would watch some of the teachings like on Facebook and or YouTube, but she never would comment. So I didn't know she existed till I came to Atlanta, and I actually did an event there at a hotel at a Marriott. And she actually, well, in fact, it was a while because as I was setting up for that event, they had a sign outside in the hallway at the Marriott that was promoting marriages. And it said, "May your happily ever after begin at the Marriott." And I looked at that and I'm like, sure, Lord. I took a picture of it. I'm like, sure, Lord, like my wife is just going to walk in the room. And she did. And then when she was coming, the Lord revealed some things to her too that were very dramatic, impactful. And then after the meeting was over, she actually took off to leave, and the Lord told her to go back and to thank me for the ministry because I didn't talk to her. And then she finally came back, and then she talked to me and briefly. And then at that point, that was the initial connection. And then we talked and talked over time, and then the Lord brought us together and had us get married, and it's been great. So
you have children with her too?
I do not. No.
Oh, okay.
She has one son that is 23.
Oh, okay.
But we do not have any children together.
She's been married before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was married, I think, 19 years. Yeah.
Amazing. Is she black?
Nope. She's white, and she's...
Well, you say you met her in Atlanta. I thought maybe she was black.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nope. She's white. She had blonde hair and got the heart of the Lord.
You know, right on.
She knows what it's like. She knows what it's like to have a marriage that she wanted to make work, couldn't do it, and her spouse really needed, you know, deliverance and would not pursue that. And she knows a lot of people in her life, you know, that had been hurt and wounded that then took out their hurts and wounds on her. So,
and so when the hell comes out of her now, even though you're working on her, you healed her, I guess, when the hell come out of her now, how do you deal with that?
There's not really any hell that comes out of her, but
you don't get, you get a little bit of hell sometime.
Not really. I mean, she's my best friend, you know, and it's funny because we both, before we got married, we're like, you know, it's hard to imagine being married to your best friend. And we knew that we both had some people in our lives that would say that. And it's like, man, I can't imagine what that would be like. How could you be married to your best friend? And that's what we are. We spend all the time together, you know, from the time we wake up and pray and then go to the gym and then do ministry, you know, throughout the day and then in the evening. I mean, we spend pretty much 24 hours a day together.
Wow.
And you can't do that when you don't like each other.
Right, so. That's for sure. So you don't have a building or anything. You do most of your work online.
No. Yeah, I do it all online. Now, occasionally I'll meet with people in person, but, you know, people find me on Facebook, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram. And I basically do a teaching on some subject every day. And then I post it. And then there's a percentage of the people, the Holy Spirit basically tells them, you need to do a session with Nelson. And so I do about 15 to 20 personal sessions a week with people all over the world.
Online? And
online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Zoom or WhatsApp, you know, WhatsApp video or phone calls. And I'm booked out for about 2 months in doing the personal sessions. And then I also do a school of deliverance that I teach people also how to do this every month. And we meet 4 times on Monday nights on Zoom. And then those people get certified under our ministry, Restorative Freedom. And then they go out and then they start doing healing and deliverance with people that either in their church or in, you know, their family, their friends, or they do it on social media. So it's
nice.
It's continuing to grow.
What's important to you?
What's important to me? I mean, what drives me every day is I want to bring as many people as possible to heaven, and realizing that the target market are basically Christians, those in the church, because there's many in the church that think they're saved, think they're good to go, and yet they have more fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, if they have any fruit in the Spirit. And they can be mean and they can be prideful and arrogant and controlling and abusive to their spouses behind closed doors. You know, there's a lot of pastors that need deliverance. And the pastor's wives that need, you know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Lord, Lord, look at all I've done. You know, I've cast out demons, prophesied, done many wonders in your name. And the Lord says, depart from me, you who practice lawless, the Bible says, is sin. So there's a lot of people that need healed and delivered that are in the church. And so that's why I talk about what I do. And then when people go through a personal session or they get my books or they watch the videos, then they go through the process of being healed of their wounds, forgiving those who hurt them. Because if we don't forgive those who hurt us, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, Jesus says, we'll be turned over to the tormentors. And a lot of people get tormented in their thoughts, like thousands of thoughts every day. So what drives me, why I do what I do, is I know what it's like when I struggled, when I went to church all the time, and yet I still struggled. I struggled with pornography. I was 6 years old when I went to the bathroom at my public school, and some boys said, come take a look at this magazine. And I didn't know what it was, and it was turned out to be a Playboy. And then I struggled with it until finally the Lord delivered me back in 2008. And have felt so clean and so pure. And that's amazing because 57% of pastors look at pornography and 64% of youth pastors look at porn, 75% of men that attend church and a third of all women. So it's important to get those wounds healed when those people were first exposed.
And so were you a slut maker at one time?
What was that?
At one time before you were delivered, were you a slut maker?
Mm-hmm. A slut maker? I mean, I don't know. Not really. I mean,
But you just made a
like
few sluts.
Yeah, I mean, in high school, you know, I didn't date much. I was, I don't know, kind of a shy kid. I was brought up with my mom and my dad, and they taught me good values, and I knew what to do, what not to do. Like, I never really had a desire to drink and party and all that stuff. I wanted to have a good reputation and do what was right. So, and I wanted to be married, wanted to have children, wanted to, you know, enjoy family life. That was my, what I wanted to do. So
let me ask you, go ahead. Let me ask you about restored to freedom. Freedom from what?
Yeah, freedom from the enemy, freedom from sin. You know, a lot of people will just stay in their sin, and they're in the church, and they justify staying there. And it's one thing, we all come to Christ as a sinner, sure. But if we're continuing to struggle with the same flesh that we did 20 years ago, then there's not been any type of real true conversion. You know, Jesus would heal people and he'd say, go and sin no more. And, you know, so it's not like, you know, you're not really freed if you're continuing to struggle with things from the flesh. You know, when we forgive people, we get repent for our pride, repent for our sin, command demons to go, take thoughts captive from the enemy. Then we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is what Jesus would expect. He would want us to.
And what is sin?
Then you have the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me?
What is sin?
Sin is anything that, it's interesting. If you go to Wikipedia and look up salvation, what it defines it as is the deliverance from sin and its consequences. So sin basically will put a wedge between you and the Lord. And a person that struggles with that will tend to feel condemned, they'll feel guilty, they'll feel shame, they'll feel dirty, they won't feel clean, you know, and close to the Lord. And it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord, you know, and continue to struggle with that sin.
And
you know,
what is sin exactly? What is it?
Yeah, what sin is anything that would you know, cause you to feel disconnected from the Lord. So that can
where did
be
you get
addicted.
Where did you get that from? That where did you get that from, definition of sin? Where did you get that from?
From my head.
you made it up in your head?
Just said it. Yeah.
But what?
I mean, the Bible but
what does God say sin is?
Yeah, God says sin is like enmity between us and him.
Right, but what is that?
And sin basically separates us from God, you know. And so obviously Jesus came to earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He did his part. But a lot of times Christians say, well, all I got to do is ask Jesus into my heart. And that's not, of course, in the Bible.
Right.
Jesus talked about repenting. Repenting means turn, change, turning from sin. And that's where really the healing and deliverance comes in.
I know, but you still didn't tell me, because I'm black and I'm slow, I'm trying to understand, what is sin? What did God say sin is?
Okay, well, sin would be, as an example, fornication. Looking at pornography, lusting after a woman. Jesus said that if a man lusts after her, he's committed adultery with her. You know, according to him, so
but he never called that a sin, and so he never called adultery a sin. He just said, "Don't do it."
Well,
I'm trying to figure out
Galatians 5. Yeah, I mean Galatians 5:16-26 talks about all the fruits of the flesh, and it says if you regularly practice those fruits of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
So, and it talks about,
but he never called him a sin, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you want to define something that is sinful behavior, but that's what I would define as sinful.
Oh, okay.
If you're addicted to things that could be drugs, alcohol, could be overeating, that's gluttony, you know, and that's not a fruit of the Spirit. I mean, how you know the difference between, say, when you're delivered and you're not. If you're delivered, you're not going to struggle with all the fleshly things anymore. You're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which then Galatians 5:16-26 explains that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness,
right,
and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility as well, you can add, and sexual purity. So those are the how you know when you are healed and you're delivered. And then You know, it might be a matter of, well, I'm going to walk in self-control. So instead of, like for me, a couple of years ago, the Lord said, I don't want you to be eating all this sugar. You like your sweets. You like your desserts. And I'm like, yeah, I do. He said, well, that's not healthy for you. And I'm like, well, but I like it. He's like, yeah, well, there's a lot of things that you might like, but they're not good for you.
Yeah.
And so he told me, he goes, you need to stop and eat healthy. And a lot of people don't do that because we got a free will. We can choose to stay in the flesh if we want and to stay in a sinful state, or we can transform into what the Lord would want for us. And that is walking in the fruit of the Spirit.
So someone watching online and they contact you or be a part of your class, and give me examples of things that you have healed people from.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've had people that get healed from emotional wounds. So they don't have, you know, unforgiveness and anger and bitterness. They're not thinking and ruminating about all the bad things that the dad did to them or the mom did to them or somebody that sexually molested them. So, you know, that's huge. That means they've truly forgiven from their hearts and given their anger and their pain and all those things to Jesus to heal. You know, so that's a large part. Now, I do see physical healings as well. Had a boy that had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. His testimony is on YouTube, where he was getting ready to go in to have surgery for the second time because the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma came back on his neck. And I prayed for him over the phone. His dad was there, and the dad felt the neck get really hot and then completely dissolve this big bulge that he had on his neck.
Amazing.
And the doctor looked at the next day, and the doctor's like, "What happened to the bulge?" And the guy and the dad's like, "Well, he got healed. I don't understand how it works, but." And the doctor's like, "Well, that can't happen." He's like, "Well, it did." So the doctor went in to see what else was left, and once the surgery happened, then he's like, "Well, I'm 99% sure that whatever happened, it's gone." And it was proved out that it was healed. So I've seen lots of different healings as well.
And so how do you heal? You go into the room, or do you meet with them in person, or you do this by online too?
I used to have a church up in Indiana that we'd have what's called the healing rooms, where people would come in from all over the place.
Right.
And I would take them through some forgiveness prayers, because oftentimes that will give rights to the enemy to torment us. So they would have to forgive or need to forgive their father, their mother, and anyone else that hurt them. And then we command whatever the ailment might be to be healed. And so I started out that way. And then I started traveling everywhere. And now basically if I take a person through a personal session, and it takes about an hour to go through it, and I have them forgive everyone that's ever hurt them, and make sure that they ask for forgiveness for anyone that they've hurt. Because once we've forgiven, you know, the Bible says, then Jesus will forgive us of our sins and what we've done. And then we've oftentimes seen a lot of healings. Like one woman, she had gotten hit by a car like 22 years ago and had migraines all the time and had pains in her chest and her back, and took her through a healing deliverance session. And she was instantly healed after it was over. And she's like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe I don't have the pains anymore." I'm like, "Well, you know, a lot of it goes back to when you forgive."
Yeah.
When you're able to forgive a person that hurt you, then the Lord wants to heal you.
And so the boy that you healed in the hospital, did you go to him and heal him?
No.
Did he watch you online?
Yeah. In his case, I was actually at my church. It was on a Wednesday night, and his dad texted me because his dad was friends with my youngest brother. And he said, "I know that you can pray for people and see healings. Well, my son's got this surgery tomorrow and I'm really worried." And so I went down to the basement of the church, basically got on the phone, talked to the dad, and then told him just to put his hands on his son's neck. And I was going to pray, command the healing to take place. And he felt the neck get all hot, and then it was gone. It disappeared before his eyes. And he was just like, "What in the world?" He couldn't believe it. And
amazing.
And then he went and talked to the doctor the next day. So that's how, I did it over the phone. So most of the time, anymore, because I have so many people from all over the world that are reaching out. So I don't need to see them in person.
Right.
You just need to talk to them, whether it be audio or video. So.
And did you heal your wife too?
Well, she's been healed emotionally of the hurts and the wounds.
Oh, I see.
That she had. So
okay.
Yeah, she's got a lot of peace and yep.
Nice. And you say that God talked to you, you hear his voice. What does God's voice sound like?
I mean, it basically sounds very similar, I mean, to my own, except it's very loving, very gentle, you know, and, you know, I went to a church in western part of Texas. I'm near Dallas, is where I'm out of, and I was west of Abilene, and in some cases, I mean, most cases, I'll be talking about healing and forgiveness and deliverance, but there was one church out there, the Lord wanted me to prophesy over everybody in the church. And there was about maybe only 50 people that were there, but it took me a couple of hours. But I just get quiet, and then I let the Lord speak to me whatever he wants me to say, and then I'll speak a word to whomever it might be in front of me. And in, you know, many, many, many cases, it confirms to them either something that was in their heart or it confirms something about their past that I knew nothing about. And so it's kind of neat because, I mean, I always kind of wanted that as a gifting, but I didn't know how to get it.
Right.
Because I saw some of the people at church that do that, and I'm like, well, that's crazy. I'm like, that would be awesome to be able to do that. And so, but the Lord has me mainly focus on helping people to forgive.
But God's voice sound like your voice.
Yeah, it sounds very similar. You know,
amazing.
I mean, it's very loving, and he does have a sense of humor. I mean, I think anybody that hears from the Lord is oftentimes, you know, he enjoys, you know, if we have a sense of humor as well. I mean, he meets us where we're at, basically.
Nice.
And so a lot of people.
And so, did you forgive your mother?
I didn't really get any hurts and wounds from my mom, or really my dad. I grew up with very loving parents, so and that's unusual because most people I deal with, I'd say probably 85%, 90% have been hurt by one of their parents, and probably over 50% were hurt by both of their parents. And then if the parents went through a divorce, then they get hurt by the step parents. So, but yeah, my mom and dad, they were always encouraging and loving and supportive of me.
And so you did not forgive your mother?
Well, I didn't really have anything to forgive her for.
Was she perfect?
She was always loving to me.
Was she perfect?
She wasn't perfect, but to me, she was very loving and very kind, very encouraging and very supportive. And
so she never did anything wrong, anything that irritated you or stuff you wish you wouldn't do or say. She was perfect.
I mean, nobody's perfect. I'll always say that, but I couldn't have asked for a better mom or dad. I mean, they both loved me and they both encouraged me.
And so was she perfect?
That, no, she was not perfect.
And did you forgive her for those things that you were not imperfect with?
I guess I did indirectly because she did spank me on a couple of times. I had to get spanked. So.
And so you never went, you never went and forgave her?
No, I mean, I'll say this too, is when a person forgives, you don't, I mean, most people don't understand this, but it's like you don't have to go to the person that hurt you and wounded you and say, hey, I'm going to forgive you. And in many cases, that person was very abusive and horrible to you. So go to them, they're just going to laugh and mock at you and hurt you worse. So you do it in your heart. You know, in the confines of your own home or car or whatever, and say, I choose to forgive my father for causing me to feel, and you name off all the emotions that you felt, and then you give it to Jesus, and you ask him to heal you.
And what would have happened had you gone to your mother and forgiven her? How would she have dealt with that?
She would have said, okay.
And did you
receive it? I mean, it wouldn't have been a...
And did you forgive your father?
No, only because I felt loved by him. You know, he was very supportive and encouraging and came to my basketball games. We used to cut wood together. We grew up on a farm
nice.
In Indiana, northern Indiana. So,
and so you never went to your mother. And God said that when you have anger against anyone, go to them and forgive them, and I will forgive you. How are you able to forgive if you don't go to them?
I didn't have any anger towards them.
Well, I'm talking about the other anyone, not just you, but
other people. Well, yeah. Well, in the case of a person that dies, let's say that you were abused by your dad, and then finally you're whatever, 50 years old, could be 30 years old, whatever, and your dad has passed away.
Right.
You can't go to him and say, so in those cases, though, that unforgiveness will still give rights to the demonic spirits.
Well, if they did,
So.
And so your parents were perfect.
I mean,
you had nothing to. Your parents were perfect. You had nothing to forgive them for.
Not really. No. I mean, I never had any anger towards them. You know, I got spanked when I needed it. I didn't get spanked very often because I learned from my older brothers. I had two older brothers. But, yeah.
And so if your parents were perfect, well, how did you come out screwed up?
Well, I was exposed to pornography when I was six.
Oh.
And, you know, and there's a lot of people. It doesn't, you know, if you got a great father and mother, you're still going to be around kids at school. So a lot of times we get hurt and wounded by the kids at school or the neighbors or people at church that can hurt and wound you. There's a lot of people I take through forgiveness and they've been hurt deeply by a pastor or pastor's wife or someone at church.
Do you have perfect peace now?
Pretty much. I have. And another thing I teach is taking thoughts captive from the enemy.
Right.
Because if you don't take thoughts captive, the demonic spirits are going to whisper to you and torment you. So I teach people, once we forgive, repent for what we've done, command the demons to go, then it's like taking the thoughts captive.
And so
I used to hear, I didn't even know that I heard demonic spirits until the Lord spoke to me after I was delivered.
Right.
He said, Nelson, you got to start practicing taking thoughts captive because the enemy's trying to whisper to you. And if you let the enemy speak, it's going to speak to you.
Right.
So I'm like, well, how do I stop? And he said, well, just say I silence the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. Take your authority. So I started doing that. And I noticed the thoughts got fewer and farther between.
Yeah.
And then after about 5 to 6 months, I didn't hear them anymore. And that was about 15 years ago.
And so
I have
do
a lot
you,
of peace.
Do you have perfect peace now?
Pretty much. I have a lot of peace.
How about perfect peace?
Say this too, is when you get healed and delivered,
right,
you oftentimes have a childlike innocence that gets restored to you.
Right.
So instead of being all mad and angry and mean to everybody, you know, you kind of get restored, you know, things than childhood that was taken from you. And then you can love people like Christ.
And so now you have perfect peace?
I pretty much do, yes.
Pretty much, I'm asking, do you have it, perfect peace?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that there can be some things that can cause me to not be, you know, could be somebody that, like Jesus, he had the Pharisees and scribes that would come around him and try to torment him and accuse him of things. So the enemy will oftentimes try to send people to accuse you of things.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fun.
That's true.
Having to deal with it. But, you know.
And so do you get angry sometimes?
I might have some righteous anger when a person is like in ministry, like the Pharisees and scribes of today, you know, when a person is doing things that are pretty like corrupt, if they're sexually molesting children, you know, if they're financially corrupt, if they're lying and gossiping, then no, I'm not real happy, you know, but do I yell and scream and do all that stuff? No, I don't.
So you do get angry sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like where I'm throwing things or yelling or screaming.
Right.
You know, I you can be righteously angry at something that what the person's doing. And I think about Jesus, he was pretty, I can imagine Jesus, every time the Pharisees and scribes walked down the street towards him to accuse him of something, he probably rolled his eyes, like, here we go again. You know, all these guys that think that they're all that and they're not. And and he calls them whitewashed tombs and vipers and snakes because he knows their hearts. So.
Right. And so you do get angry sometimes.
I mean, you can talk to my wife.
Your wife?
She would vouch for I'm extremely peaceful 99.9% of the time. And
right. So you don't know if you get angry sometimes or not? I would have to ask her.
I'm saying that she can vouch for me.
Vouch for you what? That you get angry sometimes?
It's a very low level of anger, put it that way. You wouldn't perceive it. Most people wouldn't perceive it. So.
Nice.
Because it's not like it's vocal.
And so you get angry sometimes, you just keep it in. You don't let it out.
Well, I'll talk about it, you know, talk about it with my wife. I'm like, I'm not real happy with this person. And she's like, yep, you know. And I explain to people, I'm like, listen, I go, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen state. And there's a lot of people that are hurting and wounded. So if you were around anybody pretty much in the world that's not healed, not delivered, they're going to betray you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to gossip. They're going to try to control and manipulate you and do things to hurt you. You know, it's par for the course.
And how do you avoid that? When that happens, how should a person avoid that? What should you do when that happens?
Well, once you know that that person is like that, then you have wisdom. And the wisdom will tell you that, okay, I'm going to probably need to minimize my contact with that person. I'm going to maybe have to love them from a distance, love them from afar,
right,
and not put myself out there every day. Now, again, I know people will have to go to work. And if you have people that are like that, which there are, then you just need to pray that either you get moved into a different location or a different position or that they do. And of course, you can be married to a person that's could be mean and horrible to you all the time. And that's not what the Lord intended whatsoever. Right. So.
And so you said that God said to bring all thoughts in captivity, right?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
How the Lord had me do that, because I'm like, how do I do that, Lord? And he's like, well, when you start to hear a thought that's going to take you into a place that you're not going to feel comfortable, so you might feel angry, you might feel condemned, you might feel anxious, you might feel fearful, as soon as you start to discern that, okay, this thought's taking me down a road that I don't want to go, then you say, I silence the voice of the enemy. You take your authority, you know, in Jesus' name, and then the voice will stop. And then they'll try to come back. You know, it might be 5 minutes later, might be 10 minutes later, try to give you another thought. Well, if you keep practicing that, they'll keep stopping. And then eventually it gets further and farther between. And then for me, it took like 5 to 6 months of practicing it before they finally stopped. And I don't hear the voice of the enemy now trying to provoke me or get me to get into fear or anxiety or anger or be condemned. So most people don't do that. You know, most Christians don't do that. Or most Christians are taught that, well, you can't have demonic spirits affecting you because you're a Christian. They all had to go. And it's like, no, they don't. You know, as long as they have a right to stay,
yeah,
because of unforgiveness largely and pride, then you'll keep getting tormented by them. And if you don't take them captive, you're not going to have peace.
Do you do that with all thoughts, the good ones and the bad ones?
No, you don't have to deal with the good ones. Yeah, I mean, the good ones, if they come from the Lord or the Holy Spirit, then no.
But how will you know, though? How would you know?
Well, you start to know as you start to practice. Like the thought from an enemy, a demonic spirit, it might be 90% true. Because if it was 100% false, you would dismiss it. You'd be like, that's ridiculous. That's not true. So it might be 80%, you know, true, 90% true. But if it causes you to lose your peace, so you start to feel anxious or angry or bitter, then you say, I silence the voice of the enemy, and then it stops. And then you don't hear the whole sentence or the whole paragraph of what the enemy wants to say to you. And then you're going to walk in a lot more peace. So as you get used to taking those negative thoughts captive, you have a lot more peace every day. And then the Lord or the Holy Spirit can speak to you and give you truth.
So
truth might be.
So do you believe that all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything?
Well, do I believe what? That they're demonic?
All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything.
Do I hear that?
Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
I still didn't understand what you're asking.
Do you believe that you mentioned thoughts that bring thoughts into captivity? Yeah. Do you believe that all thoughts are all lies all the time about anything?
Well, I mean, if you can have your own thought, obviously, if you think of something, and then the enemy can then chime in and try to get you to believe something that's not true. Like, I know of a woman, she was married to her husband, and she believed that her husband, didn't think she was attractive. And he thought she was super attractive. But yet the enemy kept telling her, oh, he doesn't think you're attractive. He doesn't think you're attractive. So then she started to believe it over time.
Right.
And it wasn't until like a couple years later that they finally talked about it. And he's like, of course you're attractive. I find you extremely attractive. And so then she finally learned, well, then that must have been the enemy. And like, yeah, that is. And I had another, it was a couple here in Texas, in Houston, where this guy would call home every day. He believed his wife was cheating on him, and she wasn't. For 20 years, they were married.
Yeah.
And like every day, he would call her multiple times. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? So the enemy kept telling him that she was out to, cheating with somebody else, and he couldn't trust, her. And when I ended up meeting them, I talked to the husband, and we were about, maybe 50 feet away from his wife. And as I'm talking to him, the Lord speaks to me and says that he was essentially molested by someone. That's all he told me. So then as I'm counseling with him, talking to him, I'm like, hey, did anything ever happen to you when you were growing up as a little kid? Anybody ever touch you? And he looked back to make sure his wife wasn't looking. He said, I haven't told this to anyone in my entire life. But yeah, when I was 8 years old, my 15-year-old sister sexually molested me. I'm like, okay. I said, now what thoughts came into your mind like the very next day? He goes, oh, I remember it like yesterday. The thoughts I heard were, you can't trust women. And I'm like, and what are you doing now to your wife? I don't trust her. And I said, there's no reason why you can't, right? She's never done anything. But, and he's like, nope. He goes, but the enemy keeps telling me. I'm like, yep, there you go. I said,
so you believe there are good thoughts?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, there's good
thoughts. What is a good thought?
Good thought can be, that a person might be thinking something like say the enemy kept trying to tell a girl that you're worthless. All you are is, the enemy's trying to tell her you're a piece of meat. You should just have sex with anybody. Well, then the Lord can give him a word, say, no, you were valuable. I'm so sorry for what happened to you when you were growing up and you got touched or you got molested. So that's a good word from the Lord trying to bring her some truth. And then the Holy Spirit can speak to them and say, hey, you need to forgive the person that touched you, that molested you. Like in the case of this couple, he had to choose to forgive.
All right.
His sister for molesting him. And when he did that, and I commanded demonic stuff to go, then he was delivered. And then he told his wife, he said, I am so sorry for all that I did for the last 20 years, and he admitted that he was wrong and it was demonic spirits. He didn't know it was. He was convinced that all these thoughts he kept hearing.
Let me ask you this.
So, and it's
do you agree with me that, all women are evil, that evil comes through the woman until she's born again of God?
Well, all men are evil as well, unless they're born of God, so I believe
both.
How
about women? Do you agree with me that evil comes through the woman? And it is passed on to the girls and the boys, but do you agree that it comes through the mother, evil does?
I've just seen it in obviously all men and women.
Men, you're right. It is because the men become like their mothers. But do you agree that evil comes through the mother?
Well, if they're in the womb and the mother has been hurt and wounded, then yes, it can come through the womb. But there also can be fathers that didn't want the child. And they try to put undue pressure to abort the child, And if the mother doesn't go through with that, and the mother wanted the child, then that child, when it's born, will oftentimes feel rejected from their father.
But you do agree that you do agree that evil comes through the mother and not through the man, because the man that has evil has the spirit of his mother. And that's why God said we must be born again of the spirit of the Father, because all boys and girls, all human beings that are born of the flesh, they are born through the mother and they're evil and they need to be born again of the spirit. You agree with that, right?
Well, everyone needs to be born again.
Right, because they are born of the mother, they must be born of the spirit of the Father. Am I right?
Yeah, we all need to be born again.
Because we were born through the woman, right?
Well, they are born through the woman.
And when we are all born through the woman, that means that we all must be born again of the spirit. Otherwise, we're going to have that spirit of the mother operating through us, boys and girls. You agree to that? Because we do become like what we become angry at. And all men and women hate their mothers. And so they become like their mothers. And that's why they must be born again of the spirit. You agree with that?
Oh, no, I never hated my mother.
Your mother was perfect?
To me, she was. I mean, she didn't do anything that she
loved. What would happen if you told your mother the truth about herself?
Yeah, what was that?
What would happen if you told your mother the truth about herself? How would she handle that?
She would agree with what my assessment would be.
So let me ask.
She's passed away.
Oh, she did. May her soul rest in peace and your father's soul rest in peace. But let me ask.
Yep.
So do you agree with me that the God above is the man's God and the God below is the woman's God?
I'm not sure what you're saying, I guess.
Do you agree that the God above is the man's God and the God below is the woman's God, and that's why the woman is evil?
I would say that we are all evil and that we all need deliverance.
Right, but
that's what I.
So do you agree that the God below is the woman's God?
The God below. Who's the God below?
Satan.
What did you say?
Satan.
I just would say that we all need healed. We all need delivered.
But that's not the question I'm asking you. Because I'm black and slow, I'm asking, do you agree that the God below is the woman's God? Because when Eve listened to Satan, he became her God. And then when the man listened to the woman, she became his God. And the man could no longer hear from God because the woman was his God. And the woman could no longer obey her husband because Satan was her God. You agree with that, right?
Well, the man, instead of taking responsibility for himself and saying, you know, I'm sorry for what I did, I chose to eat the apple that his wife suggested that he eat. He should have taken responsibility and said, you know, that was on me. But he tried to blame Eve. And of course, Eve tried to blame Satan.
Right. You know, so you do agree then that when the man listened to the woman, she became his God. And then when Eve listened to the serpent, he became her God. You do agree with that? That did happen, right?
Well, I believe that the woman got deceived by Satan, and the man, instead of saying, no, I'm not going to eat that apple, ended up blaming her for his decision to disobey what the Lord told him.
And you do agree that when Eve believed the serpent, she blamed Adam for it too. He didn't protect her, right? So you agree that Satan is the woman's God and the woman is the man's God. You know, that's why God said every time you listen to the woman, you suffer, right?
I guess, I would say that, you know, the woman was deceived by the serpent and
the
man.
Devil became her god when she could no longer believe Adam because she believed the serpent. And so the serpent became the woman's god. You agree to that, right?
Well, I mean, ultimately she got brought back under the true god.
But you know, do you agree that the serpent became her god?
I don't know that he became. She did submit to what he suggested.
And once she submitted to the serpent, evil, he became her god?
Well, she ended up coming back to God after that all happened.
No, she didn't. She did not come back. But once she believed the serpent, did he? You agree that he's her god, right? Until she admit that she's evil and God forgive her, until that happens, Satan is the woman's god, right?
I suppose you can look at it that way.
Is that true or not?
That's one way to look at it.
Is it true? Is it true?
That was what she did at the time, yes.
And so it is true?
Yeah, at the time that she did it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so until she repent of that, Satan is the woman's god, and that's why when the child is born through the woman, she passes that evil spirit onto the children, the boys and the girls. And that's why they become like her. They become evil like the mother. You agree with that, right?
Well, they can also be hurt and wounded by their fathers.
No, but they become evil first like the mother because they were born through that evil spirit.
There are legal rights that the enemy has to attach to the child through the mother, but also through a father that is not treating the mother the way that he should. So,
no, that's not true. But let me ask, were women created to lead or to follow?
They were created to follow.
And would you ever let...
Responsible. Man is responsible to submit to God, but there are many men that refuse to submit to God, and that the woman should not submit to a husband that's not submitted to God. That's what I believe.
And so, but she was not created to lead, she was created to follow, right?
Yeah.
And what do you think about men who allow women to be in their ministry, and they be like praying over people, and they be laying on hands, and all that? Are those men wrong for allowing a woman to do that?
No, not as long as the woman is healed and delivered.
But God never let a woman lay the hands on anybody.
Well, you think about the people like Catherine Kuhlman and all the people that she got healed and delivered, and she was used extremely powerfully.
But Catherine never healed anybody. She just pretended she did.
No, she did.
No, she did not. Not one soul.
There were many that got healed and delivered from Catherine.
Women cannot heal because that's not God's order.
No, but God uses them to...
Where did God use women to heal?
Where? Uh-huh. When?
Where? In the Bible, where is it that God used women to heal?
God will use anyone.
No, where in the Bible did God use women to heal?
God will use a donkey.
Where in the Bible did God
correct?
Where in the Bible did God use women to heal?
All I can say is from today, I have seen many women that have prayed for people and seen healings and deliverances.
You've never seen that. Where in the Bible does God use women to heal?
Well, there's lots of things in the Bible that aren't there. That it doesn't mean it's not true.
But where in the Bible does God use women to heal?
People are being used every day today, women specifically, to heal and deliver.
They're pretending that she's healing. She's not. She doesn't have the authority. She doesn't have the power. God never changes his rule. The world is just weak. They're afraid of women and afraid to tell the woman, go sit down, you cannot heal. Why is that?
Because there's a lot of men that are misogynistic.
No, why is it that they're afraid to tell women they cannot heal?
Because it's not true.
But God never used women. How come it wasn't true then, but it's true now?
Well, it's true now.
But not by God, though, right? It's man-made. It's evil.
Not evil for a woman to be used in healing and deliverance?
Right, because it's not from God.
Yeah, it is from God.
No, it's not. Why you said it? God never used it. He never said it. He didn't give women permission to do that. How is it from God?
Because God's going to use anyone that's a willing vessel.
He never said that.
But he does.
Well, no, he didn't. Nowhere in the Bible. We say, oh, okay. I'm going to use anybody to heal. I don't want to do it. He never called a woman or used a woman for healing at all. He used them to wash the dishes, to bring some food and all that, but not to heal. But let me ask, what is wrong with you that you can't admit that women, God never used women to heal, not in the Bible, anyone? I know now they, God will use anything, but that's made up about men. Why can't you admit that God does not use women to heal? It's nowhere in the Bible or anywhere.
I have seen it. I got to look at it. It's Catherine Coleman's ministry.
But why can't you admit that God didn't do that?
Because the reason that God used Catherine Coleman, because a man was not willing to pay the price to do what she was willing to do.
But that's not true.
Yeah, it is true.
But why can't you admit that God does not use women to heal? You know it's not in the Bible anywhere. Why can't you admit it's not in the Bible?
There's lots of things that are not in the Bible. It doesn't mean that they're not true today.
Really? Amazing. What's wrong with the blacks?
What? There's nothing wrong with blacks or any race. So.
But what's wrong with the blacks?
Nothing's wrong.
Why are they so angry?
Everyone needs healed, everyone delivered.
Why are they so angry and they blame white people for everything? They attack white people.
Their soul wounds healed.
I'm sorry?
Need their soul wounds healed.
What?
They need their soul wounds healed.
Right. And so how do you feel about the attack upon white men by the blacks and others?
Everyone needs healed of their wounds and delivered of their demons, and then they can love like Christ.
And do you love white people?
What?
Do you love white people?
I love all people.
How about white people?
Of course.
Would you ever follow a woman?
Would I follow a woman?
Yes.
Yeah, if she was anointed by the Lord, I definitely would.
So you would follow a woman?
Yeah.
Did Christ ever follow a woman?
That's was not allowed by the Pharisees and scribes of his day. It was not allowed. So, no, he did not.
And so if Christ didn't do it, why would you do it?
Because Christ didn't follow a man either.
No, if Christ, and you're right about that. But if Christ didn't follow a woman, why would you do it?
Because if they're anointed and they're being used by the Lord.
That doesn't exist, though.
And that's why.
Did you vote for the Great White Hope?
I voted for Trump, yes.
Right on, man. I love the Great White Hope. That's amazing, huh?
Yes. Yes, it is.
God said that every time the man listened to the woman, he would suffer. So would you ever listen to a woman?
Sure.
You would?
Yes.
But you're going to suffer.
Not if she's healed and delivered and she's
that doesn't
anointed.
Exist. Right?
I didn't hear what you said.
That does not exist because a woman who has truly overcome evil and returned to her father would never want a man to listen to her. She would love her position as being under the man and not above the man.
Yeah, well, it's best to have both husband and wife submit to the Lord, and then they submit to one another. The Bible says that.
No, but the woman's supposed to submit to the husband, and the husband submit to the man, I mean, to God, right?
I mean, you look at your spouse as a helpmate, and I listen and value, you know, my wife. She's very
valuable. Does she obey you?
I don't require her, I guess, to obey, but there are decisions that we both make, and I trust her, and she trusts me. So
does she obey you?
She doesn't disobey.
Does she obey?
I don't disobey her, but there might be some decisions that we might disagree on. Right. No big deal.
So does she obey you?
She doesn't disobey.
And so does she obey?
I don't require her to.
And so does she obey?
Next question.
So I got to put you on the hot seat, and I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, okay?
Okay.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A man is... has testicles and a tool.
Should a Christian be involved in politics?
Absolutely.
Was Jesus white or black?
He was kind of a mixture, I believe.
Have you ever tasted something that tastes so good it made you want to slap your mama?
No, I've never wanted to slap my mama. So.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
No, false. Now, sometimes she could be. I've seen people that have the Jezebel spirit, and they're very good at lying and acting. So, but
is the earth flat or round?
Round.
What is love?
Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is caring, love is serving.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, but I've seen demonic spirits.
Do we need more white babies?
No.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Abortion is evil.
Yes.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Which is worse?
Yes.
I mean, they're both bad, so.
But is abortion worse than slavery, or is slavery worse than abortion?
I said they're both the same.
Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
I wouldn't advise it.
Should dual citizenship be made illegal?
Dual citizenship? No.
Did the bear shit in the woods?
Did what?
Did the bear shit in the woods?
I'm sure that they do excrement at times, yes.
True or false, sending your kids to a public school is child abuse?
It can be, yes.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Amazing. Thanks for taking out the hot seat. Tell the folks how to get to your YouTube channel, your books, and whatever you want to promote.
Okay. Yeah, basically... go out to YouTube and then search for Nelson Schumann. So NELSONSCHUMAN. You can also go to, I have a link tree, and you can find that again. Go to link tree and search for Nelson Schumann. And then that will have a link to where my books are. They're on Amazon. I have 11 books, but Freedom from Soul Wounds and Demons is my bestseller. It's been a top 10 bestseller in the spiritual warfare category on Amazon. It's also available in Spanish, so you can find that on Amazon, paperback, Kindle, and Audible. Our website is restoredtofreedom.com.
Amazing. I definitely agree with you that the imagination, the thoughts, the lies, they're all evil. And we definitely have to overcome that. We must forgive, but you got to forgive your mothers and your father. Forgive your mothers for turning you away from your fathers. And once you forgive her, God will forgive you. I do agree with all that, but you got to forgive your mothers because mothers are not perfect. They're evil. They're doing the best they can do, but they're evil. And you must forgive them so that God can forgive you. So that's amazing, man. Thank you.
All right.
And I want to also remind the folks, the best way to support the Fallen State is by joining our membership program on YouTube by going to locals.com and becoming a member there and get Punchy's coffee. I have my own coffee now. What the? And it's delicious. Go to jessieleepeterson.shop and don't forget to follow, ring the bell, subscribe, tweet, telephone, telegraph, and all kind of stuff. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. It was amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. I wish you well what you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
Right on. Take care now. Amazing.